yours 35 select quotations from sacred scripture on the evil spirit. I'd recommend as we go along to number these quotations. But before we do that, I thought I'd also give you some idea of the literature. There is far more than I can show you here. But here are just three books. Angels and Demons, What You Really Know About Them, by Peter Kreeft, K-R-E-E-F-T. I recommend it. Evidence of Satan in the Modern World, by Leon Christiani, Christian and I at the end. Then, The Devil, Does He Exist and What Does He Do, by Father Delaporte. Now, your quotations that I've included in your notes that you received are from another source. And they are Corrado Balducci, of which you have excerpts among your notes. No words of mine could begin to make either clear or too clear how active and phenomenally effective evil spirit is in the world today. One more book. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen or read the book on The Ungodly Rage by Donna Steichen. It is mainly on what has happened to religious communities of women in the United States. In the clearest language at my disposal, it is unqualifyingly demonic. The devil has deeply penetrated once flourishing women's communities, and just to illustrate, I thought I'd check the index on witchcraft, which, as you know, is Satanism. One, see, 4, 9, 4, 2, 13, 6, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I would say about 80 pages on witchcraft among what were once women religious. And among other statements here is a statistic that 90% of the women religious who have taken to witchcraft are lesbians. In other words, a homosexual called it epidemic is unqualifyingly demonic. With that as just an introduction, thought I'd address myself to these quotations. The amount of revealed truth about the evil spirit is gigantic. And there's one thing we better know, and that's why I thought after our introductory course last time we met that I would concentrate and found a source. It's the Douay-Rheims Rheims translation, so the English may be a little archaic. This is not an exhaustive list, but it is fairly complete. In other words, and we have to use the term, faith in the devil is part of Christianity. Not to believe in the devil, not to believe that he is phenomenally active, has been from the dawn of human history, and most effectively active today, is, I don't say, not to be a Catholic, not even to be a Christian. I'd recommend, as we go through these quotations, that you number them. That's what I've done in my list. Number one, as you notice, they're both in the Old and then the New Testament. However, they are in chronological sequence in the Bible. The holy that serve him are not steadfast, and in his angels he found wickedness. What is Job saying? Job is telling us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that as believers in God, we must remain constant in our loyalty to God, because it was the angels who first created by God. Many were not steadfast, were not faithful. Constancy in doing God's will is most important. And we're told that God found, even in his angels, wickedness. And the bottom line of wickedness, a good synonym for wickedness, is the refusal to serve God. Second quotation, and he sent upon them, that's the Egyptians, the wrath of his indignation and wrath and trouble, which he sent by evil angels. We begin to understand Christianity when we realize that God uses the demons to punish those who are not faithful to God. The devil is not only a tempter, the devil is a punisher used by God. And the punishment, which implies penalty for sin, the punishment can be such as would never be experienced or endured my just. The suffering brought on by the natural powers. No. There is pain and suffering that God used the devils to inflict. Each one of these quotations, by the way, I mean it, deserves an hour of commentary. For the purpose here is not to further comment, but just to briefly explain, I would like to cover all 35. But a reminder, are there being some boxes or containers passed around for questions? If somebody has a container, I'd appreciate his being passed around. In other words, God uses evil spirits to punish evildoers, and hear it, punish them not only in hell, but on earth. Now a long quotation from Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, who didst rise in the morning? How art thou fallen to the earth, that is, rule the nations? And thou saidst in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mountain of the covenant, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But yet, thou shalt be brought down to hell, into the depths of the pit. This is an article of faith. Anyone who out of pride ignores, disobeys, resists the will of God will infallibly be punished. Of course, this statement is addressed to the devil. Now, insofar as we succumb to the temptation of the devil, we then become subject to the same penalty. And this, remember, pride is not only the first in the list of the seven capital sins. Pride is the foundation of all sin. Every sin is a sin of pride. And the pride is refusing to recognize the truth. What's the truth? We are creatures. God is creator. We owe him obedience. And hear it. God is merciful to us. God will infallibly humiliate every sinner. And the first purpose that God has in humiliating sinners is to bring them to their senses, to wake them up. He is not only not wrong, but laudable to pray the notorious sinners, leading abortionists, our political leaders, and are indulging, as we know, in the promotion of crime, pray that God will send them. Well, some tragedy. A grave sickness. The loss of their fortune, the loss of their position, In other words, God's normal way of bringing sinners to their senses is through humiliation, which is an anticipation of what God will punish those, how he will do so, who do not repent. Quotation 4. He said to them, I saw Satan like lightning falling from heaven. Lightning, first of all, is sudden. Lightning is unexpected. Strictly speaking, in good theology, the devil, Satan, and his minions were not driven out of heaven. As I've said more than once, the language of Scripture, the vocabulary, is less than 5,000 words compared to over 15,000, say, in Shakespeare. The same word, heaven, refers to the beatific vision, but also refers to the place for the angels. The angels were in a place of probation. No one, once they reach the real heaven, is ever driven out from the beatific vision. And even the vocabulary, from the beginning to the end of Scripture, the vocabulary of divine revelation always speaks of the devil as falling, sin as, well, going down. Conversely, that we are to raise our minds, raise our thoughts. That is not mere geographical metaphor. In other words, the very language of Scripture of an upward and a downward, of a height and a depth, is meant to symbolize the depth to which those descend already on earth who do their own will, insofar as we are doing the will of God, we say we are, well, lowering ourselves, demeaning ourselves. But in the language of Revelation, we are only as faithful to God as our thoughts. And everything begins in the mind as our thoughts rise above the things of earth. And now, remember, who remembers, who said this? You are of your father the devil. Who said that?
Jesus.
It was Christ himself, right? You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he stood not in the truth, because truth is not in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof. By now, I'm not exaggerating, volumes have been written on just this quotation from John's Gospel. It is Christ speaking to the opponents, the enemies, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees. And let's hear it and weep. These enemies of Christ, whom Christ called, well, children of the devil. And liars, bewitched, my Satan, they won't hear it. Leaders of the people, the high priests, and the Jewish, well, what else? The Jewish priesthood, the teachers, the leaders, the educated. And here I could speak again for hours on the single greatest need in the Catholic Church today for the leaders of the church to be humble, to be faithful to the teaching of Christ as taught by the Vicar of Christ. No heresy in the Church's history, zero, has ever succeeded without the backing of bishops. My 30th year now in working with the Holy See, oh, and I couldn't say how much I could share with you, but I assure you, these words of Christ were addressed not just to the leaders of the chosen people then, but to, sadly, not a few of the leaders of the church in our day. Number 6. Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things of this world? What does St. Paul mean when he says that we shall judge the angels? God, of course, is the final judge of all rational beings, whether angelic or human. But hear it. As we grow in our understanding of the faith and live the teachings of Christ, then, and I have to add, and only then, will we be in a position to recognize and discriminate between what the devil is teaching and teaching masses of the world today, an indispensable channel of seduction is the modern media of communication. And you, when you are dead in your offenses and sins, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, of the spirit that now works on the children of unbelief. One reason that God allows us to sin and be seduced by the devil is to wake up. And then, and I say this from a lifetime, especially a priestly experience, the more deeply we had sinned in the past, the more over the years we have disobeyed God. And then by His grace came to our supernatural senses. Hear it. God did not allow us to sin without a reason. We have a special, I would underline that word, special responsibility for the sinners in our lives. Who better than a converted sinner knows better or knows best how to cope with those who are under the slavery of the evil spirit? In other words, conversion of sinners, hear it, is a grave responsibility for every one of us. And the more we've sinned, the more deeply, the more frequently, the greater our responsibility to convert sinners. In this quotation, the Apostle James, you believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. In other words, the devils do believe in God. The devils had never seen the face of God. Hear it. And that is our destiny. Anyone who has seen the face of God, which is the beatific vision, is protected from ever losing God's friendship, and as the angels fall, as no one falls from heaven. But notice, the devils, we are told by St. James, believe, but they tremble. There is a sense, and a deep sense, which we are to be afraid of God, but more correctly, we are not so much to be afraid of God, but rather afraid of His punishments. We are to love God. Even the fear of God that we should have should rather be, watch it, not precisely the fear of God, but the fear of His just punishments. We are not faithful to God. Quotation 9. If God spared not the angels that sinned, or delivered them, drawn down by infernal ropes to the lower hell, unto torments, to be reserved unto judgment. In other words, the language, of course, is very, you might say, sense perceptible. Infernal ropes, torments, be reserved unto judgment. Over the years, I have talked with atheists. My most memorable experiences was in Ann Arbor, 3-day debate with a professed atheist by the name of Paul Van Buren. Can I tell you about that? Now, being a Christian, I'll let him give the first lecture. Then after he spoke, I got up and I said, Dr. Van Buren, 2,000 students, first time ever, a debate between a very well-known atheist who wrote books denying God's existence and a Jesuit priest. I turned to him and smiled, "Dr. Van Buren, I hope you will not disappoint me. Over the years I've met some very, very intelligent atheists. I've never met one who would really defend his atheism. Please, Dr. Van Buren, please don't disappoint us." He smiled. Well, the poor fellow did disappoint us. There is no intelligent defense of sin. Notice who said that? The first pope, Peter. Back to John now in his letter. "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God appeared, that might destroy the works of the devil." How we need to hear that the most effective power or weapon we have against the devil is Jesus Christ. And of course, Christ might have allowed the devil to continue seducing the world as he did before the coming of Christ. And the devil was phenomenally effective. How do we know that? The chosen people for 2,000 years from Abraham on were told the Messiah would come. He came. What did they do to the Messiah? They crucified him. Hear it. Being a Catholic is no guarantee of salvation. Am I clear? As Pope Pius XI told a Jesuit friend of mine, the worst enemies of the Church over the centuries have been the unfaithful Catholic bishops, priests, and religious. Amen. Quotation 11. "The angels who kept not their principality, but forsook their own habitation, he has reserved unto darkness in everlasting chains, unto the judgment of the great day." In other words, already now, the angels are tempting, they are seductive, but, strange statement, there is still more coming. In other words, we're not just speaking here of human beings, but the evil spirits. There is still worse punishment awaiting them. Then, in the Apocalypse, there are two long quotations from the same book of St. John, either the Apocalypse or the book of Revelation. What is this work of the Apocalypse? It is the one book of prophecy of the New Testament. St. John was divinely inspired to foretell what will be the history of the church until the end of time. And there's one thing that St. John brings out in the book of the Apocalypse. It is the widespread, effective work of the devil. We don't begin to understand the crime-ridden condition of the 20th century unless we, shall I use the verb, credit these massive crimes to the evil spirit. I told the people in Chicago on Friday, there's no earthly, no human way does not exist of overcoming the mania of abortion in the modern world. Nowhere. Only supernatural means. And those supernatural means must be miraculous. And that is why, as I told the people in Chicago, I'm repeating to you, that's why, without the Eucharist, faith in the Holy Eucharist, devotion to the real presence, the faithful, frequent reception of Holy Communion and assistance at Mass, without the Eucharist, there is no hope of overcoming the most crime-ridden century in, I repeat, human history. That's why I got the invitation yesterday, had to turn it down. I was supposed to be just 4 o'clock Detroit time. I was supposed to be in Chicago with Archbishop George at 4 o'clock Chicago time. They still have an hour to go. They're 1 hour behind. To meet with him, because, listen, he is consecrating a chapel for Eucharistic adoration. And whatever you can do to promote Eucharistic adoration, you'll be doing to overcome the superhuman power of the devil in our life. And there was seen another sign in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, on his heads 7 diadems, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to be delivered. And when she should be delivered, he might devour her son. Who was the woman?
Mary.
Who was her son?
Jesus.
And that is why one of the surest ways of recognizing a truly possessed person is how that person responds, for example, to the Hail Mary. The devil hates 2 things mostly in this world: devotion to Mary and the Holy Eucharist. Next, long quotation, 13. There was a great battle in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who seduces the whole world Yet that universe, the whole world, it was cast onto the earth, then it was thrown down with him. But notice, cast down to the earth. Over the centuries, volumes have been written in commenting on the book of the Apocalypse. The devil is very active in the world today. It is good Catholic theology to believe that just as we have, thank God, our own guardian angel, so we also have a demonic spirit who is tempting us. And there we say, sent by the evil spirit. And Satan and his followers know us very well. Now the general category, devil seeks the ruin of man. It came to pass. When on a certain day the sons of God came and stood before the Lord, and Satan came among them and stood in his sight. And the Lord said to Satan, whence do you come? And he answered and said, I have gone around about the earth and walked through it. The devil's plan, they conspire. They are selective in whom they're going to tempt and how. And that's why Job was so tried. God allowed, remember, allowed the devil to try Job. The suffering that he experienced. In other words, the devil is not a figure of speech, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil is selective, and I can tell you, and he is extremely shrewd. He watches us. He studies us. He consults with his fellow devils on how best to seduce, especially those who are trying to be faithful to God. Next quotation, 15. God created a man incorruptible, and in the image of his own likeness he made him. But by the enemy of the devil, death came into the world. Memorize this. Except for the devil, none of us would die in body. Not one. Not to know that abortion is satanic from start to finish is not know the ABCs of Christianity. And they follow him that are of his side. And this, still the same, quotation 15. Every person, I've taught over the years, every person in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. No exceptions. And I would say, in the measure that a person is steeped in sin, that person, man or woman, and I want to stress both genders, such people, the more, you might say, intoxicated with pride, the more the devil uses them. And let me tell you, I've met more than one possessed person, and the most effective are the intellectuals in high places, in education, in high places, in politics. I'd rather die than have to say it. And sadly, some in high places in the church. You don't have bishops openly, overtly, not just condoning, but promoting sodomy. If that's not the devil's work, what is? The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, this parable, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil comes and takes the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. I have taught over 600 of my own Jesuit priests. How I wish I could.